This episode of the 90 Day Fiancé Recap on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Echelon Fit, the evolution of fitness. Now, when it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, hitting your fitness goals, and feeling great about yourself. Of course, we're coming into the new year. So many of us have been having the tomahawk steak, the French toast, the chicken and waffles, the root beer floats. Of course, Echelon can help get us to our fitness goals. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their Echelon Stride smart treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. The EX7S connected bike is built with performance, flexibility, and durability in mind. The EX7S is the bike for competitors at heart. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live, on-demand, studio-level classes, always available when you need them. And unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone. One membership lets up to five family members all work out at the same time. And right now, you can try Echelon Fitness's equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/RHAP. That's echelonfit.com/RHAP to check it out. That's echelonfit.com/RHAP. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here to talk about a week number 5 of 90 Day Fiancé Season 8 here on Rob Has a Podcast. Another good one here for you this week. A lot of good stuff from our couples that we'll be talking about. And of course, let's bring in the man who got the ball rolling. Here he is. He's coming off of a 24-hour stream this weekend. Mr. 90 Day Fiancé, Puya Zambakili. Puya, how are you?
I'm doing lovely, Rob. Brandon had to wake up at 4:30 to go to work. I was awake at that time, as I was the whole day that day. But no, I'm very excited. I'm very pumped. This was a very strong episode. I think we had a slower cup last couple. I think this kind of brought me back to, you know, Stephanie started the ball, and then now here we are, all fireworks. Good time rolled.
No fireworks. You'll kill the fish, Puya.
I mean, listen, if you're Natalie, you didn't hear that. Everyone else, like, you'll be okay with it, I hope.
Loud noises and you're going to kill fish. That's very bad. Come on.
Very passionate.
Yes. I am very excited. We have a great guest here with us to talk about everything going on, a 90 Day Fiancé. Of course, that Puya, you and she have talked about 90 Day Fiancé on the wrap-ups of 90 Day Fiancé. Welcome back to 90 Day Fiancé Talk. Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
Great. So excited. We're back. 90 days back. Everything's good in the world again. So thankful.
Yes. Sasha, how are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm good. I'm excited. I think this episode really was kind of brought us all back, like Puya said. And I think the tea is hot. I'm ready.
Yes. Okay. We are ready to go to talk about all of these couples, of course. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, help more people find out about what we're doing here with 90 Day Fiancé on Rob Has a Podcast, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/90dayfiancé. We appreciate your feedback and your star ratings here at the start of the season. Okay. Sasha, you want to give us your thoughts here as we start this discussion of these season 8 couples? Do you have any favorites that you've been dying to talk about?
Of course, like everyone else, I like Brandon and Julia. And, you know, when we say like, we like the drama and we like the hot mess, like not actually like, okay. But also I will say this, and I hope this isn't so rude, but it's been really hard with this cast because they're all like white men with Eastern European women.
Yeah.
So I've had a really hard time keeping track of like who's who. Like, and they're also, a lot of them are on like woods and farms. So it, to me,
a lot
it's
of
like
themes across the couples.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting season where I was very stressed when Puya asked me to be on, because I was like, okay, I really need to take good notes because I don't want to get people confused because all of them sound and look the same to me. But now I'm excited because a few new people have been added, and, you know, I'm here for Maserati Stephanie. That's who I love. That amazing character. Just, we get such little time, but every time she talks, it's a bomb. Yeah. So I'm excited for her. And, you know, these little characters we're finally, I think, starting to get.
Okay. So you want to start with Brandon and Julia this week?
Yeah. Or we can start with Stephanie. Okay. Too, since it was so short.
Yeah, Puya, Stephanie, that she did not even get Stephanie and Ryan. It was just Stephanie this week we just got.
Yeah, we went from like massive opening to a whimper this week with Stephanie. Not a lot from Stephanie. Basically, we met the Uncle Bo's of Stephanie's world in the cousins that mm-hmm. we met at Skin Envy. That was the big storyline with her.
Yeah. So Stephanie does not have just a disapproving psychic medium. She also has disapproving cousins who are Ryan and Shannon. They come in and not for anything. I kind of feel like that the cousins need to, you know, they're coming in. They're getting all the free stuff from Stephanie. They could at least humor her on this Ryan situation. They don't have to be such... negative naysayers.
Really? But I feel like since you're getting all this stuff, you like owe her, you know, like you actually owe her, but you also owe her in like advice, because to me, Belizean boy toy, like that's exactly what he was. And I 100% agree, because I'm telling you, every time we talk to Stephanie, like, yes, Stephanie and Belizean boy toy Ryan, like, it's so funny because she's just dropping all these bombs, and I don't know why they're together. Like, I want to know what the tea is. Like, Stephanie, I'm 100%, you can go on sugardaddysugarbaby.com, and you will find a good man. Like, you will. Like, maybe this is
those are real websites, sugardaddysugarbaby.com?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think they'd have just one website?
Oh, I'm sure. I don't know. Yeah. But I lived in San Francisco. So like a bunch of my roommates were actually on these websites because they went to college and needed to make some money. But so I know that they're a thing. I don't know the exact URL, but I know they're a thing.
Not a sponsor.
No, not sponsor. Okay. But seriously, Stephanie, like, girl, please. Because I think she's really sweet, actually. And you see that she cares a lot. You know, there's the only thing fake about her maybe is her outside. But I think her inside is like genuine and real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's definitely no rule where you can't be really sweet and really stupid. And I think she suffers from both. So first of all, yeah, the cousins are skeptical. We see why. I'm with Rob. I'm like, you know, if your parents are giving you extra money, you laugh at their jokes. Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of the payoff. So they got to, like, give that little humor. Pam, the, like, assistant at the office, really getting involved here. I was like, Pam, this is not your family discussion. Just stay in your lane. You're in business attire. Conduct business. But it's very funny to me to hear that not only is she getting, we heard about the watches last week. She's not only like providing money for his entire family because of the times being rough with the coronavirus, but also she has a friend who has a resort, and she has essentially said, yo, I'm going to give you money and you're going to be the funnel, and then you give him the money. So Ryan's in a pretty good situation, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. Ryan's getting the best of everything by the sounds of it.
Oh, very confusing. Ryan is the name of Stephanie's Belizean boy toy and also her cousin, although the cousin spells it R-Y-A-N-N-E.
Ryan. Ryan.
Still goes by Ryan, so yeah. The confusion will stay.
So, hey, I'm the real Ryan, that he needs to be Ryan B or something like that, that I called Ryan first. It's too confusing. We can't have two Ryans.
What the Bachelor starts tonight, right? So same.
Maybe she has to be now. Oh, what am I now? Ryan with two N's and an E? It's too much.
The N's and the E's are silent, Rob. They're silent.
Yeah, well, she still has two N's, like Elliot with two T's for Ryan. So, that was an interesting setup, Puya, where she's like funneling the money to the person that owns the resort. This was just wild that she, it seems like that she has it in with somebody that owns the resort in Belize. Mm-hmm. This is a weird situation.
It doesn't really, it makes no sense to me. So she has this connect. She's getting him a job at a time where like jobs are scarce, but then she's also paying for stuff. I mean, Sasha, you brought up why is she with him? She seems so sweet. If I may be, you know, forward for a second, I gotta imagine the bedroom stuff must be phenomenal.
I mean, yeah.
Like, that's like, all it really, what else is there? Like, if she was involved with an entanglement with the cousin and she's still with Ryan, Ryan must be, you know, getting fireworks gone off on his own. Like, he's doing
careful,
his own thing.
Careful. Fireworks. Yeah.
Her pond
the
Dudeville
is a, lads, man.
Her pond must be a wop, you know, but. but Angie's paying him $500 to $1,300 a month on top of that, right? Because she's helping the family.
Oh, see, was that the bottom line there? Because I wasn't sure. So she's paying his salary and then also an additional $500 to $1,300 on top of that.
Rent, food, clothes, watches. Watches we heard last time, but rent, she like Deet gave us, you know, an itemized spreadsheet. But it looks like, yeah, rent, food, clothes, for the family as well. I think not just him, which to me also makes a lot more sense why mom last time was so okay with like answering her calls and like, you know, because it felt weird to me. But now I'm like, no, I understand.
If you don't
why.
Give me
like,
the info, then cutting off the checks coming in.
Yep.
Mom.
We'll but see. Ryan has so much chutzpah, right, for not answering the calls, even after this lady's, like, paying for your whole life, your parents' life. But he's just,
well,
the cash cow might stop,
in
Ryan.
In fairness, Sasha, he doesn't know that she's also paying his boss to employ him. He might be like, hey, look, what? Like, I got my own money. I got my job. Oh. He doesn't really realize that, like, oh, really, Ryan, actually, that I also, I am your boss's boss.
Yeah, she's the mob boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm intrigued. So how did she push him to go apply at the resort, or did he apply there naturally? Like, did she, like, how much meddling did she have to do to get him into that door to get that job?
I bet she told him, like, hey, I am friends with this person that owns this resort. Like, go talk to them and then, you know, tell him you know me and maybe he'll be able to help get you a job where then. But the guy that runs the resort is like, hey, this is great. Free labor.
Yeah, why exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's perfect. If we could, you know, get like 10 more of these, like that's a great business.
I know, Stephanie, just come on, it's time. Maybe we add to the army. But also, I would say, I find it really interesting that not only is she paying for all of this and he's not responding to her, but she still wants to go to Belize, like risking the COVID, because this is in June, right? Oh, no, June is the other couple. Mm-hmm. But she still wants to risk all of this stuff and show up there. While like literally paying for him.
Yeah.
Like, why not just bring him here? It's so weird.
Puya, do we have reason to believe that the injections that Stephanie is getting might provide her with some special extra protection against the coronavirus? Do you think that the shots of youth serum could give her sort of like the immune system of like a teenager?
Well, I think we would like to believe that. I don't think that it's possible. I think it might be a placebo effect where she's like, I'm invincible. I've got this. I'm going to go. It's fine. And to answer your question, I genuinely think that Ryan's stalling. I think Ryan is in a very good situation where he's got this girlfriend abroad. He's getting sent money. He's got wages. He's with his family. He's with his friends over at, I don't remember what the actual city name was, but I'm still going with Dudeville. I know it's the opposite of that problem. Was it Ladyville?
I believe it was Ladyville, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So he's with the lads there. Like, he's set. He's got his whole life sorted. So I think if anything, he's saying, like, oh, I can't yet because A, B, C, D. If you send maybe 8 more watches, I can maybe make something happen. So I think it's definitely a Ryan snooze button situation.
Yeah.
And she's bringing her own ring to propose.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
She's bringing the ring, but she just would like to hear him say the words.
Yes, but she'll pay him to say the words. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll be like, I'll throw in an extra $1,000 in your allowance if you, like, you know, do a little proposal the way I would like. Maybe have some rose petals, you know, Instagram worthy, kind of all of that. Like, this is what I want. Just do it, and I'll pay for it.
So the cousins are, you know, skeptical, and they're saying, like, boy, Stephanie, this sounds like a little crazy, all this, everything that's going on. And Stephanie is confused. What's so crazy about this?
So just because he's younger and from another country, does that make it crazy?
I mean, kind of. Doesn't help.
Yeah. I mean, listen.
It's up there.
You got another country, age difference. He doesn't pick up calls. They haven't talked to him themselves. Mm-hmm. I'd start getting a little skeptical, but after, especially after I see the receipts, right? If I'm like, oh, so all this money's going out, what's coming in? Oh, nothing's coming in?
Not even affection. Nothing. Literally nothing is coming in. Also, I would like to say, this is my problem with all reality TV, not just Stephanie, but why do they say my partner, my, you know, whatever, this person doesn't know this, but I'm going to say it on national TV.
Yeah.
Like, why do they do this? Yeah. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like basically you sort of like putting it out there and then you have to go through with it then.
It's a good thing maybe to do. Then. Yeah. That's smart.
Yeah. It's sort of like if you want to like really like, you know, you have like a like an incriminating photo of yourself and then there's like a website you could put it on. It's like, hey, if I don't like go to the gym every day, release the photo, then you got to go.
True, true.
You do stuff like that. So anyway, that we have a Pam is the woman that works at Skin Envy also. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like that Pam is concerned that Ryan is going to come in and then become like the co-owner of Skin Envy.
I think that she...
We're about a hostile takeover.
Like, well, I feel like Ryan could have whatever he wants, right? Ryan can come in and he can get... He's like, you know what? I would like to work. I would like to administer the injections. And then Pam just has to leave. I think Pam has it good, has had it good. But I think she realizes very clearly, and I think a lot of us do that, Ryan will control Stephanie, and Stephanie will kowtow to Ryan.
Yeah, that would be very skeptical or sketchy if he came in and wanted to administer the injections.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But is it more sketchy or less sketchy? What if Ryan says, I would like every patient who comes in gets a free watch on the way out? Kind of like when you get the lollipop after injection. He's like, if you come in, you get a watch.
Where's he getting the watches from?
From Stephanie.
Yeah.
This is a business.
then everybody will have a cool watch like him.
Maybe that's his MO. He wants everyone in the world to have a good watch. No watch left behind, no wrist left behind. Like, he wants everyone to get blinged up on the wrist with a Rolex.
No, he should take everybody's watches that comes in. He's collecting the watches.
No, Sugar Mama is fine. Like, she's giving him everything that he wants. He's going to prove that, look, I'm bringing in clients.
He's making it rain watches for everybody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He's like, look, I'm bringing in clients. We're good. You don't need Pam. You only need me.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad they got Stephanie back in there. But yeah, not too much going on with Stephanie and Ryan. Hope they come back for next week together and we get some more, because Stephanie is gold. All right, Sasha, should we talk Brandon and Julia?
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So let's get your take on the Brandon and Julia pairing, because they've been the stars through 5 episodes of 90 Day Fiancé. They've got multiple segments in every single episode.
And they deserve it.
Yeah.
Obviously. No, but honestly, Julia, blink twice if you need help. Because I, like y'all also have said on the other podcast that, you know, we're Team Julia 100%. Like, she's sane. I think she's not asking for much, but this boy, Brandon, like this man, no, this boy, not man, he sucks. And Rob, I live for when you call him a stupid moron, because that's literally
He is a stupid moron. And I have some audio from, did you watch the show that was on after 90 Day Fiancé?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see any of this?
I did not.
Okay. Okay. I have some clips for you of.
Okay.
So there's a new thing, and this is not Pillow Talk. It's like a new 90 Day show.
Bears
that
All.
What's it called?
90 Day Bears All.
90 Day Bears All. Okay, sure. Yeah. I think it's part of the Discovery Plus package that they're trying to push. It seemed like that there was more to it, but my DVR stopped after 2 hours. That I guess there wasn't really a call to action of, hey, if you want to see more, sign up for Discovery Plus. But there's apparently like a panel show that they do. And they spoke with Brandon and they had his parents via Zoom. Let's talk about them and then we'll get into what was they were talking about on the panel.
I love this.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But all right, Sasha. So here we are, Brandon and Julia, and for some reason, everybody else has a day job, and then Julia is home alone, Kevin McAllister, with just Aspen, and she has to feed all the animals.
I was so mad. First of all, Julia is not your hired help.
Okay? Yeah.
Or hired. No, sorry, not hired, because they're not paying her. Julia is not your farmhand. This is like every Hallmark Christmas movie, right? Where you fall in love with the farmhand. This is like the opposite of that, where you're literally bringing someone and making them your indentured servant. For what? That ratchet room and your ratchet son? Like, please, no. I'm so, and then Aspen's shady self.
Yeah, what's with this Aspen? She's horrible.
She's so bad. Julia's slacking. I'm sorry. First of all, this woman probably still has a jet lag. And then on top of that, she does not need to work on this farm. Like, I want to know, where did it say she needs to work on this farm?
Yeah. This is like in Annie, when she's like in the orphanage and then she has to like get up and like do her chores. And Aspen's like Mrs. Hannigan.
The gall on this family to think, like, how prized of a possession do you think your son is that he's going to get a wife from another country? And you think, you know what? We can get her to work for us. If she doesn't want to stay, too bad. You'll find someone else. Your son, this is his only chance. He has no one else on the horizon.
Exactly.
You are not going to let him spread his wings. He is going to live and die in this room that you're making him stay in as an exterminator with nothing to his name. You're trying to exterminate this marriage. I see right through you, Betty. I know what you're doing. I see right through you.
I just don't get it. But wait, no. What kind of farm is this? They all have day jobs. They're all like, I'm at my other gig today.
It's trash, because they're obviously not making any money from the farm if they have to have day jobs, because I don't see her milking the cows, right? So it's not a dairy farm. The eggs, they got what, one egg she got?
Mm-hmm.
So $0. And Aspen, ma'am, said she hasn't done a lot of hard work, or at least hard physical work. Pretty sure being a go-go dancer is mostly all physical work, Aspen.
Yeah.
So I'm going to send y'all a link. So their farm, there's a website for their farm. I believe they're in the dog breeding business. That's what the farm
so
primarily
unethical.
Is.
No.
Right. But no, the whole thing is, in the first episode, we saw that, hey, Brandon said, well, I'm going to take over the farm one day. So I help my family with the farm on top of my job. And he was clearly doing stuff in the daytime. So I don't know what job the family has. Like, did they pick up being wine enthusiasts and now they're just traveling and having wine during the day? Because, like, I don't know what they're doing. Who was attending it? Was Aspen doing the farm beforehand? Because, like, this was definitely someone else's job before. Did they lay someone off? I don't know.
Maybe they told Aspen she was getting an assistant.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like they breed pigs, guinea hogs, poultry, goats, all of that. So everything that she was feeding, it looks like they breed those things.
Feeding and breeding. That's all that's going on at this house. And Brandon
didn't
want to answer
the house.
That. Yeah. I loved from last week when Julia went to go feed the pigs for the first time. That I love this sound, because I feel like it's so fitting for so many different parts of my life. Which is, you know, basically my baseline reaction to anything anybody wants me to do is we found out that the night before everybody was getting ready to go to work, that Julia visited Brandon during the night.
Julia is not happy about the separate room thing, but she snuck into my room last night for a little bit of alone time.
What does she see in this guy?
Here's the thing. I talked about, maybe Ryan's got something going on. That's why Stephanie's involved. I really don't think Brandon's out here like putting up numbers or anything.
No.
I don't think that's the situation here. I don't know what the appeal is with Brandon. Is it like a boyish charm? I don't get it. I don't see it. I think, so here's my prediction. I think that when he's not around his mom, Julia has full control, and like, he's like, Julia is like I was about to say, like, I don't know, manservant. I don't know. But what I do know is here, there is a fight for that charge between Betty and Julia. And clearly Julia is the second thought. And that is not ideal. That is not great. I haven't felt for anybody in this show the way I feel for Julia. I really feel like she's gotten the raw end of the deal, like every turn so far, five episodes in.
Yeah. It's brutal. Sasha, how do you see this dynamic between Julia and Brandon?
Yeah, I agree. Because so in second episode, whatever, when they went for that dinner by themselves, you could really see that there was like, okay, like this is kind of a normal relationship, like vanilla, but it's normal, right? Relationship versus I think when he kind of like gets into the hands of his mom and then he kind of just like becomes this like, you know, the Switch playing like kid. And that's why I think that she's like, okay, it's like a normal relationship. We just happen to be, you know, living in different countries. And, you know, I think it's also probably someone that accepted her as a go-go dancer. You know, I think all of that also kind of played into it. And I think he is nice when it's just them two, but that's because I think he's so agreeable. Wherever the wind blows, he just kind of goes. Like he has no backbone, like none.
Super low maintenance.
Yeah.
All right. So Brandon, he goes to work and Julia has to, she wakes up and apparently that Betty gave her a list of things that she needed to do. In the morning, here's Julia telling us about the situation.
I hate morning.
Yeah, I hear that.
Same.
Same.
I hear
big
that,
same.
Julia. So she has to go and attend to the farm animals. She has to go. She says she doesn't remember what they told her. She will go get the egg. She will get one egg. That's it. One egg from chicken.
And she, like, negotiates with the chicken. That's what I like. Like, I'm going to take egg from you. Now it's time.
But she runs into Aspen. And Aspen's in, like, waiting there, staring at her watch since, like, 7 a.m. God knows what time it is. Aspen.
12. It was 12.
It was 12. Aspen calls her a slacker. Says, you know, this is not good. And she's super shady about everything.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of lip from somebody who is literally holding a bald baby cat for like the whole first episode we see her. Like, you're really out here acting like you're royalty. I'm like, Aspen, if they get fed at 7 and no one's come up at 7, how about you feed them? Like, you seem like you were ready to do it. What's the point of waiting just to like, you know, wag your finger? I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like that.
She has a manager position, Aspen.
Yeah, regional manager, right? And why not wake the girl up? You have free access to the house, it looks like. So it's do something, right? Like have some agency in your life.
Yeah.
Or show
her how to do it. Like, okay, I know this is your first day. Let me show you how to do this, Julia. Instead, she's like, no, get in there. Go help the pigs.
She's and hungry because you slept so late.
No, come on.
You waited for them to get riled up like this, Aspen. This is your fault.
Aspen lives in the woods too, y'all. She needs some fun. She needs some entertainment. And this was obviously it. Exactly.
She slept too late.
Yes. Yeah.
She said the farm is no place for a princess.
Ugh. I mean, maybe facts, but I mean, I would much rather not be on a farm and be a princess. So I don't know why Aspen thinks like this is a thing that, you know, she's in the right on. I don't get it with your bald cat baby.
Yeah. Now, Sasha, I know you've gone and visited Joe Exotic's sanctuary, but these pigs are so ugly.
No, they're so bad.
These are the ugliest pigs I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, and they chase you. First of all, like, I'm very afraid of, I think, actually domesticated animals are dogs and cats because I've been bit by them. But if I had to do any of this, like, I would leave Brandon. Like, I would go back home because there is no way this fat pig is running after me because it's outrunning me. Like, there's just no way I'm outrunning it in what outfit Julia was wearing. Because if you see her outfit, she is not ready for farm work No.
She got dirty. She was not happy.
Exactly. So those pigs are a mess. But it looks like they're breeding them, right, at this farm, and people are buying them. So I guess to each their own.
Not enough watches in the world for me to get in that.
Yeah.
I don't care what's on.
Really gross.
Not doing it.
And Joe Exotic's farm had, like, which is messed up. I know, everyone, but like, not like cute cubs. Like, I played with the liger.
Yeah.
And you know, it was really fun. And there were wolves that kind of walk around with you. So it's not no pigs coming at me.
Right. Like, Joe Exotic's whole thing is that he has animals that you want to take pictures and selfies with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody is taking a selfie with this pig, even with a 10-foot selfie stick.
No, and yeah, she has the stick too. No, she's not doing it.
Yeah. Maybe she should bring the selfie stick in there to defend herself from the animals.
Yeah, she should like become like the Russian, you know, like a like dominating woman that she is so destined to be, because these pigs need to know who's the alpha, and it's not the pigs.
Okay. So later on that day, Brandon comes home from work. And Puya, what is this move? He comes home from his work. This is like the third day that Julia is in America. Goes right to his room. Doesn't even say, hi, Julia. How did the day go?
Yeah, I could never imagine walking home and negging my fiance. Just be like, nope. I've been thinking about playing Pokemon all day, and that's what I'm going to go do. Like, that's not in the cards for you. You've literally ditched her since 4:30 a.m. You go and you embrace her. You ask her how it was doing the tasks at the farm that you know she's got no business doing. It was weird, Rob. It was very weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he sat on the bed contemplating. Like, it's not like he was playing a stupid game. No, he literally sat there. He put his little jacket up on the hanger and then just sat there.
He wasn't like,
what an idiot.
Like, hey, babe, how's it going? Like, nothing.
No words. No words were other. Also, if I have a job as an exterminator and I've been out since 4:30, am I really going to hang that coat back in with all my clean clothes? I feel like that's not the move. I feel like that's a mistake.
Well, all that pesticide is getting to his brain. That's what it is. Y'all.
That would explain so much about Brandon.
Fumigation of the mind with this one.
Yeah. So Julia ends up coming into the bedroom to talk to Brandon. Sasha, what do you make of like that? It seems like that there's also that Betty has tried to put like a chalkboard with their names on it so they know whose room is who. He's got Brandon. Just in case he's confused about which room he goes into at this house.
No, I think it's just so the animals probably aren't confused, because I don't know.
The crickets.
This is yeah, the crickets. But no, it's to me, it's like, you know, Betty's just trying to control every single thing. And this is just another piece of that where Betty's kind of like, here we go, like, make sure you know, because when you're walking in, you know, if you're doing something wrong and you see like something and you're like, oh, I'm really doing something wrong. Like if you see a sign or, you know, like a camera, I don't know. That's what I think this is. Like she thinks that will stop them.
But do they need to amend the chalkboard and say Brandon, like parentheses, no Julia allowed?
You really need to spell it out further. I do think that's the move because Brandon's not getting it. Julia's not getting it. These invisible walls you've put up are not working. Reinforce them. Put the names up. I think at you know, they should literally just start having count like at prison, where at 1 a.m. Betty comes out and goes, all right, come out of your rooms. I need to make sure you're in the separate rooms now. Betty.
They need a bed check. Wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, literally bed check it.
Hands where I can see them. Hands where I can see them. And just like walking like this.
Mm-hmm. Then Puya, did you notice in Brandon's bedroom that he is like, as he's talking to Julia, he's standing in front of about like a dozen like bottles of weight gain protein like supplement? Is Brandon's bedroom inside of a GNC? Did you see that?
It's a whole IKEA shelf worth. Like this shelf is just purposed for supplements and like
how much does
protein
he need?
Powder. Who is having this? It's not him.
No,
is he a doomsday prepper? Why does he have all this stuff?
So he can fight the zombies.
This is interesting. I feel like I could very well see a bunker somewhere on this farm. There's a bunker. And that's where Brandon calls his man cave, where he has his Nintendo Switch, some protein powder,
get the animals,
and all the magazines that he's had to hide from Betty since 1982 are all in this bunker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Aspen. There's no room for you in the bunker.
Only your cat. Only your bald cat.
Meet Grandpa. We're still waiting for him to get here.
Oh, no.
I can't wait to talk about Pop-Pop.
With the American flag.
So Brandon has to drop, speaking of dropping a bomb, drops this news on Julia. By the way, did I mention that we're going to have dinner with Betty and Dad and also Grandpa tonight? Did I mention that?
She literally, if looks could kill, I think he would have dropped dead like 20 times already, but like really this time, where I think she literally looked at him like, you just aren't anything, like you are worthless. Yeah. Because you literally don't look at me, you don't talk to me, and then this is what you say when I come to you.
Yeah. Julie tells us that Brandon is scared that mother will yell at him. Doesn't want to get yelled at by mom.
That is the most honest thing that we've heard so far this episode, in my opinion. I think he's just terrified. And we'll get to this dinner, but I want to talk about this dad more.
Yeah.
I feel like this dad has weird spurts of, ooh, now I'm going to stand up to my son. Mm-hmm. But like, usually he's quiet. So I don't understand the dad at all.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's get into it. So they go to the restaurant. And then, by the way, did anybody get a look at what Brandon looks like? He has a nice car.
Yeah, it was in
very fancy.
It was a Nissan, right? GT. RG.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a Nissan. It's one of the, I want to say it was a two-seater.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One of those, yeah, like Nissan, the expensive Nissans.
Okay. So look at Brandon. Okay. So, all right. They go to the restaurant. And what is it? Is this like a sushi place?
It did look like a sushi. Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a weird, based on the little bit that we know about, you know, Brandon and the family and where, but okay. Well, let's take Pop-Pop for sushi. Okay.
Pop-Pop loves the sashimi.
Oh, my gosh.
But he was eating a salad when they got there.
Yeah. Why were they eating before they arrived? I feel like that's not nice.
They're always waiting. They're always waiting on Brandon and Julie, I guess.
Yeah.
But they walk in, and Pop-Pop has Dad rolling. They hear Dad laughing before they even get to the table. Pop-Pop is just killing it.
I mean, Pop-Pop had us rolling, too, so I believe it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a big fan of the Pop-Pop humor myself, so that works.
Yeah. All right. So they get there, and, you know, Pop-Pop is, you know, cracking everybody up, but he's concerned about Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, Pop-Pop is a skeptic as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's heard about these Russian women, and they come here, and then they are using... What are they using Brandon for? Well, like, what is the end game that anybody that has this concern? Well, where's the scam?
So we what have to remember. Taking? No, we have to remember that we are looking at it through like norm reality lens, mm-hmm. but they're not. So to them, Brandon is right. This like better than their prized pig. So obviously that's why they think that Prince. He's the bee's knees. Exactly, he's the bee's knees. Like. Obviously, everyone in the world is trying to get at our poor little Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sweet, sweet green card and our son's innocence. Those are the two things she's in for. But here, the thing I respect about Pop-Pop, he's like, I'd still let it happen. Like, Pop-Pop seems like he's into it, which is a little, it's like creepy, but also it's like he's supporting.
It starts endearing.
Yeah, he had us in the first half.
Yeah.
What happens next might shock.
Yeah.
Sucked us in. Okay. So, you know, how was the day, Julia? Not good. Not a good day. And she's the you know, pigs want to eat me, is what she tells the family. And no, they don't want to eat you. Stop it. And then Betty says, Julia, what's on your neck? What's happened to your neck? Which I don't know how she made this out underneath the coat. Like, she's wearing like this coat with like a fur lining. Sasha, I mean, Betty is really just eagle eyes over there.
Yeah, cast Betty for the next Marvel movie. You got your Hawkeye, because my God. And I think the way Julia was sitting, I really don't know how Betty saw it, because Betty was diagonal to her. So if anything, Dad should have, I think Dad could have seen it, because she hadn't zipped up the jacket. Like, it was just kind of open.
In kind of a dark restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe production had lights in there. And production maybe even said, like, wow, look at Julia's outfit, wink, wink.
Oh, you think they tipped their mom off?
I mean, I hope, because whoever did deserves a raise, because then we get the next segment.
Puya, so, do you think please. They do stuff like that?
Oh, I definitely, the skeptic may have definitely think so, because you want those moments brought up. I feel like there is no world where they don't want the mom to have an inkling that her precious rules were broken.
Yeah.
That, oh, my foolproof plan of giving her the paint room didn't work out? Like, that's strange. So if she didn't catch it herself, I think they fed her the crumbs somehow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. She reveals what has happened, these markings on her neck. And how did this happen? How did this happen, Julia?
I say, Brandon, Brandon, stop bite me, stop bite me. But for Brandon, this is fine. For this is not funny.
This is not fine. This is not fine, Brandon. Not fine. Niet means niet.
Oh my God, please.
Not fine.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The epitome of, hi, I'm Brandon, and I'm a whole stupid clown, because you literally know who your parents are. You're afraid of confronting them, but you're going to sink your teeth into her neck where it's very visible to your mom's trained eye. Your mom can spot this a mile away, Brandon.
We know that there isn't much going on up there, so this is exactly why. But, and then the gall to say, oh, but I hope that she wore a turtleneck. Again, why is this always Julia's fault?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to know.
Yeah. Listen, Edward Cullen, knock it off. You're 27 years old, moron.
The dad was not having, this is where the dad, I think, like, really jumped out, where he was like, what are you doing? This is not funny. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. Now, did Julia actually wear a turtleneck for the last couple of weeks? I feel like that Brandon was trying to say that he did this in the hotel room.
Yeah.
Whereas that I got the sense that he did this when he snuck into her room recently, when he set that up at the top of the episode. Had she been wearing a turtleneck the last couple of episodes?
No.
I don't recall seeing it, but I believe what he said, the quote from him was, had you not noticed she's been wearing a turtleneck the last couple of days? Which is like, yeah, give them your trick up. Not every time they see her with a turtleneck, they'll know what's up. Yeah. Like, that was a mistake on your part. If I have an inkling, they did stuff at the hotel. The turtleneck was on, but then he reinforced it again the night after, because he likes to role play Dracula, I guess, is what he's doing. That's a vibe, whatever.
Yeah.
I think that this is something that Brandon does.
Okay. Apparently. All right. Not great. Not great. Dad tells him, grow up. Come on, Brandon. Grow up. You know, Dad knows his kid is a moron.
Oh, 100%.
Betty's in denial, but Dad is sometimes like, come on. What the hell is wrong with you? But Grandpa goes to bat here for Brandon. Here's Pop Pop.
I'm 87 years old, but 88. I'd still do that to a young girl if I had one.
Pop Pop, no. Also for you, Pop Pop.
Pop Pop's creepy. Like, at the first introduction with Julia, when she gives him a kiss on the cheek,
yes. And he says,
I like a few kisses. She's like, sit down and eat your salad, Pop Pop. Just stop this.
Pop Pop, you're going to get a heart attack if you're thinking and doing all this stuff. Pop Pop, please understand. And also,
now we know where Brandon gets it from.
Not from his parents, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But no, you saw Julia's little awkward laugh. And I actually wrote that in my notes. Like, man, every woman knows this awkward laugh that you have to kind of smile and nod so it'll go away and it'll stop.
Yeah.
Yes. Or to these creepy people in general, but especially these old men that, you know, have just done this their whole life, like 88 years, like Pop Pop said. Mm-hmm. Crazy guy.
Yeah.
You're solid. Drink your Metamucil and leave Julia alone.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. All right. Did you decide what day you will have your marriage? Pop Pop asks. Interesting way to phrase that question. What day will you have your marriage? Okay. All right. We decided a day. May 9th. Save the date, everybody. May 9th it is.
Oh, God, please. Did you see Pop Pop putting it in the phone?
Yeah, he was putting it in. And Dad's like, whoa, whoa. Wait, hold
stop,
on.
Stop.
Not yet. We didn't. And yet.
Mom said, no, don't save it. We're working on it.
We're still working on it. Yeah, that's Mother's Day weekend. As she knew, Betty knew, like, off the jump. I mean, what month is this? February? March? Boom.
We're earlier. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. No, Rob, here's the truth, right? And this is not documented anywhere, but I'm making an educated guess. Betty and Brandon 1,000% participate in Mother Boy. annual Mother Boy. They're there because she knew this from jump. She was like, that's Mother's Day weekend. You can't do this to us.
She didn't even have a question. She's like, oh, wait, what weekend is Mother's Day this year? She knew. She'd been.
It's her special day, y'all. Duh. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my day. Although, now, I don't want to, Sasha, disrespect Mother's Day. I didn't know, and this has been in like the 90 Day Fiancé of my life. I didn't know Mother's Day was such a big deal of like, okay, Mother's Day. It's like, okay, well, I guess I'll send flowers to my mom. And then my, you know, wonderful wife is like, hey, where's my stuff? No, it's not about your mom. It's about me. I didn't know this when I was, nobody told me that this was all about, I thought it was about you buy something for your mom. No.
I asked my mom. I was like, would you
now
care?
I've been new. Yeah.
Yeah. I asked my mom, would you care? And she said, no, why? Your happiness is greater than mine. So, and it's just Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what normal moms would do. But yeah, I think like this is where I really went to town in my head, because I feel like if they do May 9th, first, this lady's going to show up in a white dress. I will bet money that she shows up in a white dress. Yes. Or, you know, and then call it beige, obviously. She's going to be like, no, it's not white. Or Julia doesn't need to wear white because she's not a virgin, obviously. Right? Like, this is the kind of stuff Betty's going to do. And then she's going to want to pick everything because it's Mother's Day. It's my special day.
You know.
And there she's going to ask for a cake, too. That was the last. Yeah.
So, not for anything. May 9th, 2020 was a Saturday.
Yep, not even Mother's Day
is a Sunday. It was a destination wedding. Like, there was no way we could do the wedding on Saturday and Mother's Day on Sunday. We could not do both events in this. Like, how many guests are they having at Brandon and Julia's wedding?
Well, zero because of COVID now, I hope. But.
Right. Ideally, yeah.
And that's the thing is that she kept saying Mother's Day weekend.
Like,
what goes down on their Mother's Day weekends at this farm? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
It must be elaborate because both the dad and Betty were like, no, it's a work in progress. Pop, pop, put your phone down. Stop putting this in the calendar. Not having it. I thought it was sweet that this was the anniversary of the first time he messaged her. Granted that we've known that the message was him after randomly seeing her on a video call being like, hello, future wife. Like, that was it. And that worked for them. But I mean, the sentiment. So I really don't know why this is a big deal, but it just tickled me so much that they found something to get under Betty's skin. Mm-hmm. And Betty can't do anything because Brandon's like, no, she's getting this. You're not letting us have the room.
Yeah.
You're not letting us be together. She's getting this date.
He was surprisingly locked in on that date. Yeah. Surprising.
This is the only way he can escape Mother Boy. 2021, Rob.
Oh, maybe Mother's Day weekend is so heinous for him that he has to get out of it in any way possible. But Sasha, from the way that Julia was talking, she said the 9 is very important to her. Are we sure that it was May 9th that was the date he first texted her, or it was just the 9th of a month?
Yeah, I think it was just 9th of a month, but I'm assuming with the math, like, I don't think it was May 9th, at least the way she they were making
the
9th,
it sound. The 9th has to be the 9th, has to be the 9th, but I don't know why we got locked in on May.
I'm assuming it must be something with the 90 days ending, you know, and then them like having some time to plan. But I don't think it was May 9th. I think it was just 9th.
April 9th was a Thursday.
Yeah, maybe that's why, because it's cheaper to get married on a Thursday, but reception halls are cheaper. But I guess they didn't want that. I mean, I hope Julia was calculated in picking this date. Like, that's what my hope is.
Yeah.
I don't think she was, but, like, I pray. Because that's, like, because I'm on Team Julia and I want Betty to, like, suffer a little.
Yeah.
And this is the best.
Dad says May 2nd is a much better day, if you ask me.
Enabler. Enabler. Dad is an enabler and he needs to be stopped.
All right. So we'll see where this goes from here. But okay, so on the 90-day Bears All, okay, so they had Brandon in studio with the host of the show. And Sasha, you don't know her name by any chance, right?
Sean.
Okay. Sean Robinson was back again.
She was in the studio, and Betty and Dad were on Zoom, and they were asking about a lot of questions. And they're not going to reveal like anything beyond where we are, but they're asking a lot of questions about Brandon. And what's going on with him and Julia. And they talked about some of the issues of the bedroom and then the birth control talk. And so the host of the show, Sean, you know, asked a very logical question that many of us have asked him, like, but okay, so all right, she doesn't want to go on a birth control pill, but you could wear a condom, right? Right? You could do that, right?
We think less fun about it.
Less feeling.
Maybe you should try a different brand.
I mean, I've tried different ones. It's, you can claim to be extra thin all you want. It's definitely not what they claim, but
listen to this playa Puya.
Wow. I wish I would have found a way to watch that now. What a flex. Like, you could be as extra thin as you advertise. Not for me. Like,
doesn't
really
work.
Brandon, you're coming through like the Dos Equis guy. Like, you're not that cool. Okay, relax.
Try every brand.
Sean's face was the best. Like, she was, I've never seen Sean push so much before, because even before she asked, she like kept pushing him on this. Like, no shame. Like, oh, the queen.
So we got a little further into this, Puya. We got into then, all right, well, what are they relying on? And so they're relying on Brandon's impeccable timing, that he is going to, you know, get out before things get too far. And the host of the show, Sean, says, okay, but you know that doesn't work, right? And she enlists Brandon's dad to explain why this is bad.
Yep.
Okay? And this goes somewhat unexpectedly.
Okay, let's hear it.
Ron, would you please tell your son why the withdrawal method doesn't always work?
Yeah.
You don't want to ask him that, do you?
Well, he's a clinical version. It's like, it, you know, before you actually.
Oh, my God. I did not.
You want to hear the.
When I was taking notes for this, I was like, please, I don't know how I'll bring this up, but we have to talk about it.
This is on Discovery. I'm buying this. I don't care how much they charge me for it. I am getting the subscription tonight.
Puya, please share with all of us.
I will share all the details.
Ron, you know we're on television, right?
Oh, my God. That's probably why it's called Bears All.
Yeah. Oh, literally, my God.
Yeah.
It's so, can you imagine getting a sex talk from your dad on live TV? Or not live TV, but on national TV. That maybe a lot of people won't watch.
For not birds and beesing him earlier. They just left it to like magic, and then now they're here having to do it in front of Sean Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Oh god. I think millions of people have not gotten that talk and still gotten through life. I also thought they were going to say, that's how you were conceived. So don't do that.
Oh, boy. That was wild.
Oh my God.
That was wild, Ron. Okay.
There was also another video, but again, like I said, I'm not paying for this discovery.
It was so good. We're almost there. We're almost there, but we're not quite. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's. Who else is out there that we haven't talked about? Let's. Big Mike and Natalie week.
Oh yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I actually, I thoroughly enjoyed Mike and Natalie this week.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Sasha. What are your feelings on Mike and Natalie?
So first, why is Nat? I have two big things. Why is Natalie always on the verge of tears when she's talking? I mean, actually, I know why, but Natalie's always on the verge of tears.
Yep.
And then secondly, this man, Mike, does not give like two shits about anything. Like literally a man can go in a ditch, roll over, become blind, maim themselves. And Mike would just be like, instead of helping, will be like, oh, I'm just so sorry this happened. Tell me what you want me to do about it. Mm-hmm. And this man will be, you know, in the ditch just yelling like, no, I just need you to drop the ladder right beside you. And then Mike will be like, oh, do you want to tell me how this ladder got here? What can I do? Like this, I cannot. And I feel like, I don't know if this is a hot take, but I'm team Natalie. I do not like Mike. I'm not here for it.
Yeah. Wow. 100% not a hot take. This is you are on the right side of history here, Sasha. I'll tell you that right now.
I just can't. This man sucks so bad. Yeah.
I think they both suck. I do not have a horse in this race with Mike and Natalie. They're both,
this is not a couple that should
brutal.
Be a couple.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that what I did get out of this is, yeah, and Natalie talked about this during the episode that, you know, Mike is not fun. Mike is not fun. When she's talking to her friend, she said that they went on trips and he was fun, but not on a trip. He is not fun. Fun Mike only comes out on trips, seemingly. And that was where she met him. She went to go to the waterfall. Oh, Fun Mike is back. He's like, you know, jumping around. But then any other interaction with Mike is back to depressed Mike.
And I think here's the thing. I think it's because Fun Mike is more city Mike. He's doing city social activities. They're at restaurants. They're hanging out. They're going to like public places. Like we've seen regular Mike, and that's, I'm going to shoot fireworks in the middle of the day. Where, like, that's, like, the least effective. You would have waited, like, 12 hours. You could have it in the nighttime. That looks more effective. So, and, like, he didn't even, like, his one hand was in the pocket. One hand was with the firework. Like, that's kind of the full effect of him outside of that. I feel like he's a better, I was about to say character, loosely put, might I add. When there's public setting and there's, like, regular stuff that you can do where it's like, oh, we're both getting food, but I'm getting what I want. You're getting what you want. There's more. But I mean, we've seen how much he sucks when he's just with the two of them. There's really not much, like not much character oozing from this guy.
In terms of Fun Mikey, did Fun Bobby get ranked in your tier list with Shannon Gus the other night?
Fun Bobby did. Fun Bobby ended up in the binum. Shock to nobody.
Who's more fun, Fun Bobby or Fun Mike?
When Fun Bobby stopped being Fun Bobby, he was still more fun than Mike over here. Trust.
Okay. All right. Mike and Natalie, they are out. They go to like a pond, and then I don't know if this was on Mike's property or what. And then out of nowhere, he says to Natalie, you want to light a firework? She's like, what?
Oh like, my god!
You want to light a firework?
Oh my god! This
fun.
And why take her to the fish to feed them? Like on a random day, right? Like isn't that like part of the property tour? Like, I was very confused. Do you want to go feed the fish? Like, is she two? Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't want to feed the fish.
Mm-hmm. But Sasha, did you not hear after she fed them the first time? He's like, ooh, good form. I was like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. There's form to feeding fish. Just throw it in there. Like, there's not that much going on here.
Yeah. So he's gonna get out of firework. He gets like a Roman candle out of God knows where, and then is just like holds it up in the air like the Statue of Liberty. And Natalie is horrified about this whole thing. That she says that don't do it close to the fish. The fish can die from loud noises. Is this true?
I mean, I think it's the thing where, you know, you're not supposed to tap on the fish tank when you're with, because that, I've been told that that of Finding Nemo, right, where they tap on the fish tank and it really rattles the fish. So I don't know if it's, she's basically
seems
taking
like
that.
Fish can get stressed out by loud noises. I'm not sure if the fish can die from a firework.
Well, Natalie, if anything, is not an exaggerator. So I think that makes sense. She's, you know,
yeah.
She doesn't want the fish to die for her entertainment.
Yeah. But I just love that he's like, yeah, it's great. I live in the woods. Do whatever you want. Light fireworks. Boom. There you go.
And I think that's the thing. For him, the price of living far away is I can do whatever I want. But whatever you want, really, there's not much. It's like, I can be loud, I can yell, I can get fireworks going off. But is that enough of an exchange rate for most normal people that aren't like, you know, especially if one side of their partnership is not happy with it? No. To Mike, it's fine. He's a simple man with simple pleasures, Rob, and we can't fault him for that.
Huya, how many fireworks do you think Mike and Uncle Bo are setting off on like an average Tuesday?
I think on a Tuesday, they're killing a 24-pack of beers and a dozen fireworks. I genuinely think, and they call it, you know, Fireworks Tuesdays. That's what they do.
That's probably how Uncle Bo lost his teeth, let's be honest.
Set one off with his mouth.
Very likely cause. Okay. Yeah. All right. Natalie is doing the laundry, and Sasha, this was a little bit, for me, I was like on the edge of my seat of, is she going to use the bleach as fabric softener and ruin all the laundry?
Oh my God.
Is it softener or whitener?
And I could not stop laughing. So I actually, we just moved into a new house where we actually have in-home washer and dryer. So my husband actually almost did this, but thankfully it was just white. So it's fine. But so this actually happened. So I would say, to Natalie's credit, looks like some folks might do this by mistake, of course. And I watched the show Below Deck, and they actually had to evacuate the interior because someone, one of the second stew actually mixed bleach with detergent and soaked stuff in it, and it like mustard gas, and it allegedly. Yeah, and so they were getting woozy and needed to like evacuate the interior. So that's why this actually is, it's really funny because this isn't the first show that I've seen in this week.
Yeah.
So I don't know what folks are doing with bleach, but like I think there needs to be a class that needs to be taught.
Don't
on
mix
this.
It with ammonia. That's another one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Very dangerous, the bleach. Anyway, so Natalie calls up her friend on FaceTime. And Puya, she is just getting into just a major download of everything that's going on here. It's just me and the cat. Oh, remember when she had to take the cat litter box? What is this Joe Exotic's house, Sasha? Is there a tiger in that cat box?
Joe Exotic actually had a lion in his house. I will say it was stunted. So it was as tall as a dog. I like saw it. And it barked like a dog, but it was a lion.
Yeah.
And it had legs this big. So, and then he had a Pomeranian, and you got to go by the house and see this.
He had a lion and a Pomeranian in his house?
Yes. And the Pomeranian was actually taking care of the big lion.
Because a Pomeranian kind of looks like a lion.
You know, Pomeranians like have little dog, big dog syndrome, right? Where they're like,
yeah.
I get it. I'm a short person, and I also think I'm taller than I am. But like, and so the Pomeranian actually, yeah, like try to protect the lion.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe Exotic's house, like, I bet those, like, cat poop is a little bigger, I would say.
Yeah. This litter box has not been cleaned.
Ew.
Low-key, the worst thing we saw this episode, and we saw those ugly pigs. I was like, that was a sight for very sore eyes. I was not happy with that. It's like, those had you fooled. Like, they made you look at Arya a bunch of times. This cute cat is, like, playing with Natalie, and then we saw that. I was like, Arya, you are nasty.
And so she's talking to her friend about the cat and the litter box, and she's learned a lot about Michael. He's not fun, and she tells her friend, and he's shooting rockets and scaring fish.
Oh my god.
Makes it sound like big he's a got deal like some was. Sort of like a, you know, like a rocket launcher or something.
The rocket as big as a crystal or what?
Yeah, that's the spiritual center. All right, oh, so Mike and Natalie, too much housework. Time to go out. Okay, Fun Mike is back. He's Mr. Hotel Puya. Got another big trip planned, all right? Go to a nice hotel, and Natalie is thrilled. She's back. She's happy. Fun Mike is here. If they would just maybe somehow, like, just tour the country. Hotel at the hotel at the hotel. No cats, no fireworks, no Uncle Bo. This would be a perfect relationship.
Until they go eat.
Because
It seems like every time they have to refuel, they have problems all over again. So the clash is
never
going
to a restaurant. Yes. Apu, do you remember what Mike ordered at the restaurant?
Oh, yeah. A tomahawk steak.
Not a regular steak. Oh, my God.
Yes. Tomahawk steak. Yes. Now, Sasha, do you know, is a tomahawk steak, is this a specific type of steak, or is this like a order at the specific restaurant?
No, I think this is like a cut, right, of steak. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Like, it's
a bone-in ribeye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking.
There you go. That's a tomahawk steak. And Natalie is not thrilled.
I don't think I would be thrilled, and I eat meat, but I don't need that in front of me like that. It's too much. Oh, he does not give a flying, you know what, about, like, her. Like, he just doesn't.
Yeah. She says, you know, a life had to be taken for that. Like, yeah.
And then he replied with
food. I love food. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like my veggies and stuff, but nothing like a good ribeye steak.
The veggies were mashed potatoes. They weren't even veggies. Like, who are you kidding with this?
Like, oh my god, this is when I moved from India to Oklahoma, and I like remember it because I keep kosher, so I can't eat meat outside. So I was like, oh, I'll get like this veggie, you know, these signs that come with like the steak, right? So it's literally just mashed potatoes and I think French fries and a baked potato. So I was like, no, but where's the rest of it? And the baked potatoes had bacon bits in it. So I was y'all are killing me with this. Like, so I really understand, like, living in Oklahoma, it's so hard to like be vegetarian. So she should just hang it up. Like, and I know they're in Seattle. It's a little better, but, or not even right outside of Seattle, but
yeah.
Oof.
So,
oh my God.
Sasha, at this point, what percent meat eater are you?
I like to eat chicken, but I think that's really it. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't see, like, such a big cut or big piece of meat. Like, I think it's not appetizing for me. Yeah. But, like, in a biryani, like, I'll eat a beef. Like, it's not a big deal. Because that's, like, it's hidden, right? Whatever. But not the big chunks. I can't.
Yeah. So, Natalie wants to know from Mike, you are 100% meat eater? I don't know how I would answer that question.
Like, oh my god,
is 100 yes I eat it, or 100% yes that's all I eat, like no other? I mean, I guess that's what it is, because he's like, I eat my veggies, but while he's like fork and mashed potato in his tummy. But no, I mean, this is, here's the thing, right? Because like, obviously there's varying levels of vegetarian, there's various levels of non-meat eater. It's very clear that Natalie's of the variety of, hey, this animal died for you and this is nasty. I don't like seeing. Like, obviously, I've been at a table with vegetarians and vegans who don't care what I'm eating. They just don't eat it. So it's very clear that this is going to be something that they're going to have to hit a compromise with. And here comes Natalie off the top rope with a proposal that I thought was too big for Mike's shoes of, hey, how about we make it a Jovi style, 1 week on, 1 week off. How about that? Would you be down with that? 1 week veggie, 1 week meat. And he's like, okay, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. So interesting. Now, Puya, you answered the call on the 100 nugget challenge. Would you be up for the 1 week on, 1 week off meat and fish challenge?
Honestly, I would. And I think it would do me well. I think I would realize how much I probably do eat meat and where I would have to cut stuff off. Because, like, obviously there's salads involved. We have a bunch of vegetarian dishes here and there. Because Liana's big veggie energy. She, like, this needs more veggies. I'm like, okay. She gives me a recipe. I make the recipe. She's like, I would have put more veggies. I'm like, well, you gave me the recipe. I follow the recipe. So I think I would do well with it. I think it would be good for our relationship. I would give Duffy a try.
Yeah.
Not Mike style, try it. I would Puya style, try it. Okay?
Yeah. This seems like a lot of work to prepare all the fish.
It's a lot. It's going to be a lot of fish. I mean, and here's the thing. They have a pond full because Mike got rid of them with the fireworks.
They're took fine. Them all out.
Yeah.
Oh, and they were the net after the fireworks show.
Yeah. That's how he fishes.
Get them all out of there. All right. So we'll come back to the challenge in a few moments when we go back to the restaurant. All right. We go to the waterfall. Sasha, beautiful waterfall. Everything's
amazing.
Good.
100%. Love it. And this is the most emotion we've seen from either of them.
Yeah.
And it's not from their relationship. It's toward the waterfall. But still, at least we have some emotion.
And Sasha, Natalie says, Mike, pick me up. This was very dangerous.
Do y'all know about husbands of Instagram? Because that's what Mike is.
What is husbands of Instagram?
So husbands of Instagram, boyfriends of Instagram, same thing. Partners of Instagram, I'll say. But anyway, the point, which is like what Brandon is. I think Brandon's a good one. Jovi's kind of shit at it. Anyway, but the point is, you're to be a good husband or boyfriend of Instagram, you have to be ready to with all the angles. You have to be good with like doing outrageous stuff so that my picture looks bomb.com. Mm-hmm. So that's where he needs to understand that being a partner involves being a good husband of Instagram. And I don't think he was ready for it because even my husband has had to do some like pick me up, like, you know, go into some like stand on some rocks to get some good pics of me. So it's a thing. Mm-hmm. I can show y'all pictures later. But yeah, you have to do it. It's part of the deal.
part of the deal. All right.
My question is, so we saw Natalie taking a selfie, but she was taking the selfie with the back camera, which is a pretty ballsy move because I feel like you're not going to know where that photo is. For all you know,
better
it's
camera
you.
Though, Puya.
Huh?
Better camera, better resolution.
The back camera is always the better resolution, but yeah. I feel like the trial and error of it all, like, if anything, probably give it to Big Mike so that Mike's big selfie stick hand will get both of you for sure, and then you can just crop and rotate if you need to.
Yeah,
but it was wild. It was a bold choice. It was a bold choice.
Yeah.
And was she even getting Mike in the shot? That was my question, because I thought she just wanted a picture of her and Mike just carry me, because I can't imagine his face look good while he's hoisting someone up.
No, I don't think so.
Like,
very close to
that
railing also. There was very concerned about that.
Yeah, it was worrisome. I mean, the way her body was like bent when he had her carried, I was if he just like nudges a little, she's over the overboard.
Yeah. It's also like super wet and slick from the waterfall.
Yeah. In the next scene, they were soaked. So that was like really like
it's not raining.
Nowhere. They were
the waterfall. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. We're going to go to the restaurant. And Sasha, not a great pick from your boy Mike. Is this a beer place?
It's a beer. What did she say? A beer bar.
A beer bar.
This is a beer bar.
A bar. It's a beer bar. You know, for beer.
No, City Mike again does not care. City Mike wants to do what City Mike got to do, and that's it. Like, it does not matter what anyone else wants, needs, requires. No, nothing.
Yeah. Would it kill Mike to say, "All right, Natalie, you pick where we'll go"?
I mean, that's the thing, is that if Mike's smart, which he's not, he tells Natalie to pick anything, I bet you he will find something on that menu that he likes, and he will find something on the drink menu that he'll like. Like, there's no way he's going to go somewhere where it's like, oh, wow, I'm getting nothing. Even then, give her her weekend. You know she wants, you said this is for her, just give her the weekend. But this is why I keep going back to the fact that this was DOA. There's no way they were supposed to end together. I mean, look no further than their order at this beer bar.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So she's going to get some tea. He's getting a beer. You know, we know from Uncle Bo, she does not like when people drink alcohol. She's going to get the vegetarian black bean burger. This is a professional place. They make it look like meat. It's a good place. And Mike, after the whole fish talk, it wouldn't have killed him. I'll have the salmon. It wouldn't have killed him, but no, he went with nachos with brisket. Wait, is that a dinner?
I mean, it sounded like it was an appetizer that was supposed to be shared with two, and he's like, it'll do. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like, would brisket be my first choice of protein on a nacho? Probably not. That's like literally the most animal style thing he could have done there. He's like, wait, can you like slice up a tomahawk and pepper that in? Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Like, what are you doing, Mike? He's really pushing the envelope here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. And I just want to know, is he that daft? You know, like, that's it. Like, is he just that, like, la la la? Like, I was, you know, that song, K Sarah, whatever will be. That's Mike as a it's that song. Mike is that song embodied because he literally just shrugs and will be like, yeah, like, I'll get some brisket on nachos. Like, how is that even appetizing with beer? I don't get it. Like, nachos is fine with beer, but like, brisket, what?
Yeah. I don't know what Mike is doing here. I'm wondering, is Mike looking at the 90-day fiance window as, okay, like, you see some people, like, okay, 90 days, all right, you got to get here, boom, we're getting married this day, this is what it is. Or does Mike look at this as like, oh, 90 days, okay, this is my, you know, 90-day test drive. If I don't like it, then I'll send it back at the end of 90 days. No questions asked.
Yeah, I think 100% it's the latter with him. This is the kind of thing where, you know, a lot of people will come into this process of like, well, it's definitely happening. The 90 days is a formality. We're not even going to need the 90 days. We're going to get married earlier and then use that time to like file paperwork. With him, it's like, let me see how bad things could get. And it seems like he's at every chance he can take the road of compromise or the road of I'm going to railroad this and you should respect me and we'll see what happens. And he's picking the second door every single time. Brisket in hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. They bring out the food and boy, Natalie, she's loving the black bean burger. It's very tasty. It's not healthy, but it's very good. And Mike's eating the nachos. Also, Sasha, I was getting kind of grossed out with like the stretchy cheese and dripping down. You know, I'm not a food guy to begin with, but this was pushing me to watch Mike eat the nachos.
Yeah, I can eat the same thing every day. And I think I get really irritated like if folks don't eat correctly. And that's
what is eating correctly?
You know, if you chew your food too loud, I don't like it. I don't like when folks breathe really loud. it's sick. It's a sickness I think I have, but it's okay.
How loud are people breathing, Sasha?
No, you know, when you can like hear people breathe and it's like, why? Like, fix your nose situation. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like do a sinus drip, do some steam. I don't know.
Can I tell you something embarrassing about me that, and people don't know this because it doesn't happen on podcasts, but I am a very loud gum chewer.
No, see,
and I'm very self-conscious about it. And I ask Nicole, is this bothering you that I feel like I'm chewing this gum very loud? And she's like, how many years has it been? I don't care.
Yeah, I think if you're actively at least noticing it, that's fine with me, because then I think we're in the boat together. Mm-hmm. Versus when people are like, no, it's nothing bad. It's in your head. Yeah. Stop it. Yeah. Like, that's when I was like, no, I can't have this. this.
Imagine like when we're all around like a lot of people again, like all of like the really bad, annoying habits that people have developed that like their housemates or spouses have just become numb to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'd be wild.
Yeah.
Oh, Godspeed.
Especially rough with Mike, because as a beard haver,
yes,
you should always be conscious of the cheese pull. Like always, because you don't want that on your beard. It's going to be a mess. It could stick there. You might think you've removed it. You haven't. But honestly, and let's be real, and this is no offense to Mike, or maybe all offense to Mike, but he doesn't seem like the type of guy who's going to care. I think he's the type of guy that'll rub his hands on his pants after he eats. Like,
yes.
This full ID gaff situation with Mike.
And call it country living. That's just how country boys are. Yeah,
how we do it on the farm. Do whatever you want. Shoot fireworks. Yeah, wipe your hands on your pants. Whatever. Who cares?
Kill the fish. Whatever.
Okay. Let's talk about the wedding. Let's talk about a wedding date. How's May 9th? That's no good? Okay. Because I know that her mom needs to be there for it. So maybe Mother's Day would be a good weekend for them. But Let's choose a date. Mike, not ready, Puya. Doesn't want to call it yet.
Immediately shuts it down. Immediately says no. Which, like, this, if anything, needed to be more evident, is this. Like, in his head, he's like, I just gave you a weekend, didn't I? So just stop hounding me. And it's like, Mike, how about the fact that you have, what, 83 days? Figure it out. Like, this is not, I don't know why this is a big deal. But it obviously makes it very clear that Mike is not invested in this relationship right now. What that whole like accusation stuff, giving the ring back, like that's set him back completely to like round one in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to have time to get to where they need to be if this is going to continue at this pace.
Yeah. Not coming together for Mike and Natalie, but let's have dessert. Sasha, you know what sounds great right now? How about a root beer float?
Gasp, not beer. Why, Rob?
Now, Puya, knowing the little bit about Natalie, when you heard that the order was coming in, a root beer float, did you think there was any chance that Natalie would like a root beer float?
I mean, this has come up recently that I've never had a root beer float. So I don't know what it really would taste like. But I think that it did not cross my mind that the term beer was in it, and that was going to be a problem until she, like, zeroed in on, wait, Michael, is this beer? Beer? Like, this is not good. This is like not going to be a good situation for her at all. Are you a root beer guy, Rob? No, are you like
I'm not really a root beer guy. I heard Akiva and Chester debate this recently about, it's fine, root beer. It's fine. Mm-hmm. If I was going to drink soda, it would not be the soda that I went to. Mm-hmm. But it's fine. You could get a bottle of root beer. Wouldn't kill you. It's fine. Root beer float is dumb. The root beer float is not a great dessert. If I'm going to have dessert, I want something with a little more substance than a scoop of vanilla ice cream and soda. What am I, 8? This is like something that's like, yeah, I'm really sticking it to the dentist. I got ice cream in my soda.
Or like, what is, you know, those diners, right? Like, that's what I feel like you're at. Like in Riverdale, like you're at Pop's Diner.
Like the malt
shop.
Yeah.
Like, what malt year is shop, this? Yeah, 1962 with my root beer float?
Yeah. I remember, again, when I moved from India and someone was like, yeah, let's get a root beer. And I was like, no, I'm 14. I can't have a beer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I understand the confusion, but like, you got to get over it. But I do understand also that Natalie was at a brewery.
Yes.
So, or at a beer, what is it, beer club or beer bar?
Beer bar.
So it's harder to like believe that this isn't alcohol. Yeah. So I'll give her a little bit.
And it's also a dark color that it kind of has the consistency of like a Guinness. You can certainly can understand why you might think that there is alcohol. But so she asks, wait, oh no, root beer. Is this beer? He's like, no, it's not. And she calls him out. Says, nah, I think it is. I think you're lying.
But she ate it or drank it. Because did you see that it was almost done when she started, like, or when at least it cut to her saying it?
I had it in my notes to take the sound drop, but I forgot. But what did he say about his aunt? He's like, as my aunt used to say, more for me.
More for me.
Just more kept for me. The float.
Yeah. I really think that if I was in this situation, if I was Mike, I think I would have brought the, like, called the waiter over, like, sir, is there beer in this? No, it's soda. Like, all right, do you see?
Yeah.
You see, I would have called everybody, is root beer beer? No.
Yeah, Mike's a better person than me because I'm petty Betty, and like I will 100% want to be proved right.
Yeah.
So because of that, like you will know that it's not beer.
Yeah.
Exactly, and I think you will know that it's not root beer. Like I'll Google it. I'll ask the waiter. I'll ask the random. Oh, do you know this person? Great. I don't either. Hey, is root beer beer? Great. Remember, and then I would like. The whole weekend, I think I would have been thinking about it and bringing it up, which is, so bad, but here I am.
Yeah. This is not working on any level.
No, especially considering the fact when they met up with Uncle Bo, of course, we can forget. When they met up with Uncle Bo, she brought up, Natalie said, oh, I drink to support Mike, which I felt like was a broken English way of saying, like, I drink because he drinks, but I drink, like, rarely. But then this is two nights in a row where he had wine the night before, beer here. But it's clearly a problem with Natalie.
Mm-hmm.
I got to imagine there was at some point a challenge of this week you drink water. Next week you can drink these drinks. And he's kind of doing the same thing where he's ignoring it completely. And then he's rebuttaling with she needs to listen to me and respect me. So this road is going to be bumpy, yeah. Rob.
Not to mention, she ordered a black bean burger and said, it's very tasty, but not healthy. And he ordered brisket covered nachos for two and then topped it off with a root beer float.
A dark beer.
Yeah.
And a root beer float.
Yeah. They're not on the same page.
What is with Americans, like thinking that their food is so superior? Mm-hmm. Like even with Tariq, right? And we'll get to it later. Like just this outrageous gluttonous.
Yeah, well,
let's
go right to Tariq and Hazel and talk about that.
Oh my god! Yeah, I mean, Tariq shows up, and it's first day first, whatever you want to call it, in Virginia, and Poor Hazel just wants some rice because she's missing home. And no. I'm going to show you a real American breakfast.
Puya, what is up with these guys on this show shoveling French toast into these women's breakfast? They don't want it. They just want a carrot or some rice.
Literal shoveling because how they eat. My God.
All the women on this show wake up early, get some French toast. And stop complaining.
Before they even got to the food, let me tell you, if I'm showing my fiance first day in town, I'm not going to take her to some place called Hair of the Dog Eatery. That is a choice. Especially with the translation stuff, I would be skeptical. Like, why are you taking me here? This doesn't seem great.
She said, do they serve dog?
Yeah.
It's like, honestly... Like, these are heavy foods. I feel like you can very easily get sluggish. So if you're about to go seize the day, a French toast will do not. Also, that's not all they had. Tariq went ahead and ordered a sample platter of everything. Like, they had chicken and waffles, French toast, scrambled eggs, and grits.
And a heart attack and high blood pressure and cholesterol.
Yeah. I mean, I did kind of get it where I was like, first of all, I was like, well, this is a lot of food. But I wonder if maybe he just wanted her to take a bite of everything. But
yeah,
I suspect there was not a lot of food left over.
No.
Yeah.
We saw the plates, right?
Tariq cleaned house. Okay.
Yeah. And this scene did give me my favorite line of the episode, which was
sugar on top of sugar. The American way.
It's the American way.
The American way.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sasha, what did you make of, we saw Tariq driving around a lot in this episode. He's got a big sticker for the Ohio State University.
I know, cute, I guess, do you, boo. But they just won, so I can't, they're about to play Alabama in the playoffs, so I can't talk too much about them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good night the other night. I'm watching that game very closely. Okay, all right. So let's go ahead and check out the spiritual center Okay, the big spiritual center. All right, Puya, what do you make of this place?
The ARE, so I had to look it up because I couldn't really, I didn't understand what this is. He was like, anyone of any religion can go, but it kind of did seem like it was a religious place. So I looked it up. Edgar Cayce was a clairvoyant?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sasha, you seem like you know a lot
about
this.
Do you know more about him?
No, so I also looked it up. Here's the... their actual website, because I had to look it up. But my face, so it looks like, yeah, so this about Edgar Cayce, is it Cayce? Yeah, Cayce, right? Has been called the sleeping prophet, the father of holistic medicine, and the most documented psychic of the 20th century. And then they talk a little bit about what he did and how he could put himself into a state of meditation, connecting with universal consciousness, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you can buy a membership and you get exclusive access to a lot of stuff, and a lot of member discounts, a lot of travel discounts. So is it a cult? I think so.
Oh. Would
you, Rob, let me ask you.
Yeah.
For a life membership to the Edgar Cayce ARE,
the ARE thing,
Center. I don't know what it is exactly. How much do you think a life membership would cost you?
$12.99
Low. $21.50 is the discounted price of the original $2,400.
You think Tariq got the lifetime membership and is making the most of it?
17 years, he better have. Although if he's been paying monthly, he's losing money. He might as well have.
Yeah. Sasha, I like how they have like the couch with the velvet ropes of like, oh, here's the couch where the guy used to go into the, you know, put himself into a trance.
Did you see Hazel's face? She was like, did I show up to a museum? What happened? I thought I was just touring a venue, or I was at a church. And you see how overwhelmed, I mean, she talks about being overwhelmed at breakfast, but I mean, my God, guy. And then they keep saying that it's for every religion, but then there's a big Jesus painting in the back.
In the ceremony room, yeah.
For everybody.
That velvet robe, I hope they know, is not holding anyone. There's definitely people have sat on that thing. There's no way no one has touched that. No way.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That couch. Don't give it to Brandon and Julia. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Do we think that Tariq's brother Dean also goes to the ARE Center?
Dean's stuck in Philippines or Thailand.
Yeah, I think he went to the Philippines. Yeah.
Yeah, Philippines. Right. Okay.
So I just paused on the, they had a plaque in the ARE of Edgar Cayce or Cayce.
Yes.
And it says, was able to place himself in a self-induced sleep state and respond to virtually any question asked. His responses came to be called readings. They are a rich and informative collection of psychic documents.
It's a cult.
Can we get our hands on that? I think that also seems not too hard to fake. Okay, I'm going to put myself to sleep. Okay, I'll be sleeping. And then you can ask questions, and then I will answer them from my sleeping state, okay?
Folks just need stuff to believe in, so I think if someone's ready to do that and be a clairvoyant, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what they say about foundations with big crystals? Big fortune.
Yeah, so we're going to see the room. This is the room where, even though we know that Hazel wants to get married in a church. All right, but let's just go look at the room. Okay, check out how great this room is for a wedding. Here's Tariq selling Hazel on the room.
Atlantic Ocean here. Meditation, stained glass. And look how big that crystal is. It's like a rocket ship.
Yeah.
Sir.
The big crystal.
Oh my God. They can buy a fake crystal and put it in a real church if they want. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's what Tariq needs.
Yeah.
Or those bricks.
Rob,
yes.
That flashback of Tariq at the church, that was one of the best scenes.
That did look pretty wild. I don't want to talk about anybody's church. But that was wild at Hazel's church. I would want to get married there.
Yeah, I would not know what to do with this.
I'd go to some boring weddings. That would be one hell of a wedding.
Exactly. Why wouldn't you want that? That's what I want to know. Because to me, you'll get laughter. You'd get some, like, you know, out-of-body experiences. Mm-hmm. They're speaking in tongues. Because I went back and watched the YouTube video, a YouTube clip of the actual, like, Tariq at that church. And it was popping. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know what out. Tariq's talking about. Yeah.
At the very least, I hope Dean gets married there.
Yes, please, Dean.
If we could go and have
please sign it with the other way
and go to Dean's wedding in that church. Okay. And then how about this, Puyo? Then they go out to what is this, like a maze out in the follow the yellow brick road to enlightenment?
Yeah, here's the thing. I was once 8. This is just brick. You're just this is like, ooh, let me like make sure every step is within this brick and then the next step is within that brick. Like, he made this up. This is definitely, in my opinion, Tariq's like thing of like, oh, I like to walk around the bricks and like, you know, like really trying to figure myself out. Hazel put it perfectly. She felt like she was being insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't blame her because everyone else in the surroundings is clearly sitting at chairs and just like talking. And they're in the middle doing a madness in this maze brick thing.
So I don't know if any of you have ever been to San Francisco, but there's this hike called Land, and then you can go to a place called Land's End, mm-hmm. and then there's a thing called Land's End Labyrinth, and that's exactly what it looks like, but it's just people have done it with rocks, and it looks like it's a circle that keeps going. So, again, like, I just think people just need something to believe in, and, like, this is the hill, I guess, he's willing to die on, because it looked a mess, and she was literally like this. I left all this life. I left my child behind to walk in circles and bricks.
Yeah.
Like, that's my life now.
The giant crystal.
Yeah, I left my life behind. I'm full with French toast and fried chicken and waffles. And now I'm at this place where this guy used to sleep that I can't touch. And then I have to look at this big crystal and walk through a maze. It's been an eventful day for Hazel.
Look, don't get me wrong. It's probably not a bad idea to get your steps in after that breakfast. But, you know, this is, I don't think this wedding is happening at the ARE. We are not having the wedding here. I don't think so. Okay.
ARE not.
Oh, my God.
All right. Should we talk about Jovi and Yara? This was probably, you know, not a laugh riot with Jovi and Yara. This one got, you know, lots of fighting going on with Jovi and Yara as Jovi gets ready to leave for 4 weeks. Not going great for Jovi and Yara. You have thoughts on Jovi and Yara, Sasha?
Yeah, I mean, again, they're like kind of the same, right? Like Eastern European with another white guy. But I will say, I think they're a little bit like, I don't know if they're well matched, but I think like the relationship's at least working-ish where she says stuff and then he'll kind of like agree with it, like the shoes in the house, which it is gross. I don't know why he's having shoes in the house. That's nasty. And so I think like he has some growing up to do and kind of like some cohabitating. He needs to learn how to live with someone, basically, that isn't his parent or his mom. Again, same story. But that's why, like, I'm not 100% out on them, but, like, I think they're 50-50 for me.
One of the things that I've been noticing a lot this season, Puya, is that I feel like we're doing a lot of green screen in the confessionals, and I suspect that's a COVID thing, right?
No, the confessional rooms are always looking very palace-y.
Yeah.
So they're definitely always green screened in, at least to my belief. Some of them look convincing, but for the most part, yeah, it's definitely green screening them.
And it's always themed. Like in 90 Day Fiancé, the other way especially, like the Indian one will look a little bit more like, I'm assuming they probably just saw Aladdin and decided to do that. And then, you know, the one... Brittany and Yazan, like theirs looked a little bit like Jordan and, you know, that vibes. Yeah. And so, yeah. So I think like they like to theme it a little bit.
I just feel like that they don't always get the green screen right. And I feel like especially like when any of the blonde women are in there, it's like you can always kind of see like a little bit of like they really struggle with Natalie that, you know, that Natalie because she has blonde hair that's like super curly. Her hair is always like a little bit like cropped out, like she's on like using a Zoom background. And then Yara also is a struggle for the 90 Day Fiance green screen team. But okay, just wanted to know if that was like because of everything going on with COVID. Yara does have some regret, Sasha, that she thinks that you know, instead of Jovi, she would prefer to have a $1 million house, be married to Cristiano Ronaldo, and friends with all the Kardashians.
Yeah, I mean, won't we all? Like, who doesn't want to be married to Cristiano Ronaldo? Like, come on, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Puya, would you want to be friends with all the Kardashians?
I mean, that's a loaded question. It's a lot to think about. I mean, I get good goodie bags. I feel like that's a good perk.
Get to go to big parties.
You'd get flown out to a private island. Come on.
Yeah. Some low-key fame out of it, probably some money endorsement there. So from a financial standpoint, probably a smart choice. But yeah, no, I feel like she really made it seem like she'd need a lot to take over Jovi. I feel like you tell me a fully furnished apartment of my own choosing and Yara would leave anyway. So it didn't need to be all the other things that came with it. It really didn't. Yeah, I just love the idea that this carpet or this white rug was just a ruse for her to get a no-shoe policy in the apartment. Like, it literally, rug touch for, okay, shoes are gone now. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't do this anymore. Didn't we, they discussed, like, in the first episode that, hey, people are peeing around Bourbon Street. And now he's backtracking on that? Like, oh, no one pees in the
streets. Yeah, he says nobody pees there.
You're walking on the street here where people pee.
Nobody pees on the streets in New Orleans.
Maybe he was joking.
Sure. About the first time?
No,
or
the second time. Second time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hope he was, because that's a lie. I mean, I haven't been to New Orleans, but like, come on.
No, I think that...
Rob, you have.
Yeah, no, that was one of the things I've said on the podcast. So that's like a big problem they have in New Orleans. They give you a lot of drinks, and there's not a lot of places to go. So that's it's a big problem in New Orleans. But, all right. What do you make of that? After everything that went on at the furniture store, they just got the rug on Amazon.
Loved it.
What about our friend from the furniture store? Where's her commission?
Yeah, she deserves so much for just giving us.
You need a Snickers or something?
Yeah.
I miss her already. I miss her dearly. Where you don't get that kind of customer service on Amazon, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all think she was their friend at first? Because like I was like, there's no way this is just a like salesperson, but anyway, like that was hilarious because the like again the way she was speaking to them and maybe that's just how like what is it Cajun culture, but she was really in on like going in on them.
Yeah, I think that I do not think they knew her.
No,
because she did not side with Jovi. No.
I was surprised when he brought the box and he was like, "Oh, the rug got here." I was like, there's no way a rug fit in this little like square box. I was like, you probably, because I honestly feel like rugs are one of the things where I've read reviews when like trying to buy something like that. And it's like people have messaged, oh, this was way smaller than I thought. So I would never buy a rug off Amazon. I feel like it'd be too risky. But I mean, it seems like it was fine. It worked.
She was
it looks small to me still, because I was like, are you trying to like just be in the random floating in the middle or... Because I'm also trying to buy that rug, and my husband also is not having it. He was like, we're not in the 70s. Why do you want to buy this rug?
All right, well, let's look it up on Amazon. What would you call that? A white shag rug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
White shag rug. What like was it? 8x10? 8x10, would you say? 6x9?
8x10. They should have bought an 8x10, but I don't. I think that was like a 4x6.
A 5x7, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. It goes pretty cheap on Amazon. Looks like you can get that for like $54.99. That looks like the one Jovi might have sprung for.
Yeah, the rest are like $100 to $200. I feel like Jovi went split for the 55.
Yeah.
So, all right. He has a new iPhone for Yara, so now he is the best boyfriend in the world. So that's good. But that was probably this the peak of Jovi and Yara in the episode, because they're gonna go to dinner. And now they're getting ready for Jovi to leave for 4 weeks. And mom is going to check in on Yara, but this is not going to be easy for Yara because she's going to be by herself for 4 weeks. And we get into a lot of talking about the past, Sasha, of And I got to be honest, I don't really follow exactly the details of the story of what happened with Joe Vignar. I know that she was pregnant and then there was a miscarriage, but they were together on a vacation when the miscarriage happened. And apparently she lost her passport and then needed to have a procedure done. And then they had to have it in Albania, which is not the country that she is from.
No, I think, yeah, they were visiting in Albania or in Europe, and then, or probably a few, I'm assuming, areas, not just Albania. And then I think in that traveling, she ended up, one, losing her passport, and two, losing the baby, or having a miscarriage. And I think maybe the miscarriage might have caused some bleeding or, you know, whatever that might require this operation. So that's what I'm thinking.
And then he left?
Yeah, because what she said is that the doctor in Albania, right, said that it'll be okay, just go home and do the operation there. Mm-hmm. But that didn't seem to like be the actual truth. So this really feels like your truth.
But she couldn't go home because she didn't have her passport, so she had to stay in Albania.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he could have stayed.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with Jovi is he's very quick to be like, well, it's a day in the life. I got to go work for a month. Bye. Mm-hmm. Like, it's no longer my business. It seems like nothing else matters to him because in his head, when he gives you a month of undivided attention, that means he gets to do 1 month of work and she has to be okay with it. And I do think that he probably enjoys this job that he has because he's on a boat with some bros, broing down. So I think that he just doesn't care. It's very, very sad because didn't we learn in the first episode that after this happened, he kind of just took his foot off the gas on the relationship anyways. Yeah. So it's just not a good look for Jovi.
Yeah, he ghosted her, right? Almost. So not all the way, but
a half ghost.
Yeah. So ratchet. Yeah.
And I feel like that this is pretty close to the Andrew. I'm just going to check into the resort to get situated of like, okay, well, it seems like you're good here with the operation. I'm just going to head back to work. Okay. You got this here and then we'll connect soon.
Yeah. And he shows no remorse when she's, crying, right? First of all, if your partner's crying, like, you don't just sit across and be like, this happened a year ago. Why are you still bringing it up? Mm-hmm. Or like, I thought I said sorry, but he's just like stone cold, like just like serial killer. Like he does not care. He's like, here's what I'm supposed to say. So I'm going to probably say those things, but actual empathy is negative, like nothing.
I think it's very evident with the type of person Jovi is that he just gets defensive and takes everything personal. He's just convinced that she has this vendetta against him when all she wants is to build a life with him. And that just requires them to put heads together. But I think every time she tries to do that, he sees it as, oh, you're trying to like make me bow down to you. And I will not get on my knees for anybody. Unless it's a beer koozie, then I will. But like, that's kind of the vibe he's giving me the whole way through. And it's not great because obviously this is not going to be a good living. Like, I think, he made a comment about the phone, be like, yeah, when a woman is mad, just buy her a present, then she'll be happy. And I was like, this, the potpourri comment, it's like, he really is living like he's 19 in like 2003. Like that's the mentality he's got right now. And it's outdated.
And then he also was talking to her about like how he's going to be gone for 4 weeks, but then he's back for 4 weeks. So,
right.
And people,
and that's what his dad did. Mm-hmm. So it's
people
fine.
In his line of work that they do this all the time.
Yeah, and he just believes, that's the problem, I think, right? The crux of their relationship, unfortunately, is that she doesn't want to live in New Orleans for the rest of her life. And he has roots there and wants to, keep his family there because his mom is there and, whoever else, like, that's his life. But that's not what she wants. So instead of having a grown-up conversation about it, which is not what 90 Day Fiancé folks do anyway, are just like just Rams, like fighting and just like keep going back and forth, and they're not making any headway and they're just hurting each other in the meantime because they just refuse to almost pause and say, okay, what is going to work? But Jovi, I mean, him leaving after her being there for a few days is just so awful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think honestly, had they been living somewhere where she would be more happy, like she clearly doesn't like New Orleans. Let's say her thing is New York. If they lived in New York and she had a little bit more of what she wants, I think she'd be okay with him leaving for a month. But the fact of the matter is, she's in a city which she's not really feeling comfortable in. She has no friends. She doesn't want to hang out with his old mom. Like, that's the thing that she doesn't want to do.
She should move in with Julia.
They would bond so hard. That would be a great friendship. And then they could talk smack about both their partners and the families. And it would just be a grand old time. That would probably be lovely.
Like an 8 or 10 hour drive.
It's a small price to pay for happiness.
Yeah.
I think they'd do it.
Be a good fit, yeah. I think. Do you think that we will take a break from Jovi and Yara for a while Jovi works, or do you think that we'll just like pick up the action and now, you know, 28 days will have passed?
No. We'll definitely be seeing them little bits and pieces. Obviously, we're going to see them next week. We're going to see Yara hanging out with one of Jovi's friends.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So they'll be there. We'll have that. We'll probably have then. I think they might become the new candidates of taking a bye week, possibly. And then we'll come back with like a small video call with Jovi, and then Yara complaining about something Jovi's saying, or like he's not messaging back. So we'll have that. It just won't be as detailed here, which is fine, because I think they're going to end up tagging in and out with Ziad and Rebecca now that Ziad's going to be in America.
Okay.
I think they're going to start taking over some of the content.
All right. Well, let's get to Rebecca and Ziad. Again, not a lot going on here. We get one segment with Rebecca. She is moving into a apartment in her old building. Sasha, this was like a wild apartment. Looked like it was this like gigantic like warehouse, and there was just like a kitchen, freestanding kitchen, like in the middle of it.
Yeah, it's a loft, right? It's probably a converted warehouse. So I thought it was a nice like space, especially better than her daughter and son-in-law's place. I think it's much nicer. The bedroom was a little weird looking, like with the bed on the floor situation, but I liked it. I would live there.
Yeah. Okay. Even with the, Rebecca's dirty Tupperware.
I know, right? We'll have to do some cleaning, girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's remember, she packed everything up and then moved in with her daughter for a while. Did she sell the bed frame, or did she just not have one to begin with? Because where's the bed frame in all this? I feel like that's a very wild choice. I'm very intrigued to see what Ziad thinks, or if he thinks anything of this. I'm very curious. Now, here's my biggest question is, why did she not bother looking at like the classifieds for like apartments in general? Or did she just say, let me call my old landlord and see if there's anything there? Because like, it's very strange that she ends up in the same apartment again. Like, that just seems very odd to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of convenience 100%. Or she was like, okay, my lease is ending. But, you know, I don't think it's that she didn't want to live with her kid. I really think that Ziad having all those issues, you know, with son-in-law being around, whatever. I think that also is why she was like, okay, I'm just going to quickly, I need to find a house. And it seemed like they weren't ready because he got his passport, you know, taken away, right? Like all that allegedly happened so fast that I think she was just kind of like, let me just find a place, forget it, like screw it.
I'm just trying to think if this would bother me or not if I was a Ziad, that Rebecca lived in this apartment building before. I do not believe it is the same exact apartment. And yeah. So, all right, that he doesn't love that she was married before to the guy from Morocco. But we're living in the same building that Rebecca was with. I mean, is this a big deal?
To me, it's not. I mean, oh, I used to live here, but down in apartment 2A, like that doesn't matter. Like it really doesn't matter. That's also me. Like if it was the same building, I'd be like, you know what? We'll make better memories here. Like, I feel like I would have that mentality. Whereas maybe Ziad, like he wouldn't like this. It's too close to home for him. I don't know what the case is. I also think I subscribe to Sasha where like, I think ultimately the fact that they're not living with the daughter and the son-in-law might be a win that this doesn't matter. But it also depends how she phrases it. Because Ziad famously does not really like some of the things Rebecca has delivered to him or takes them the wrong way. So I will look forward to Amino accept this if he does end up having a situation with that again. But we'll have to just wait and see what he feels.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would be like, oh, this is kind of weird. And I think I would leave it at that. Like, if it were me moving in, like, I'd be like, oh, you can find another place. Fine. You're paying for my everything anyway. So, like, you know, I have to be a little bit more I have to compromise. But with him, it really, I think he will have a problem with it, because it just, the way he's been talking about things, the way he's kind of, his expectations of her, and then the relationship, I think it's not going to be so good.
Okay. We saw Zia leave his family, emotional goodbye to Zia and his family, not much to talk about here, right?
No. Just felt the feels and moved on. That was like the most feelsy moment of the whole episode.
It was nice that all of Zied's boys came to the airport to see him off. You know, the Zied entourage was there in full force.
Yeah, if I had to say who was the E, it would be the guy in the Barcelona hat for sure. Big E energy with him in his entourage. But yeah, the rest of them seemed fine.
Oh my god.
I think that's everybody for them this week on 90 Day. Covered a lot.
This was jam-packed. I think maybe aside from one couple, we had a lot to see with all
we
the
did not
couples.
Check in with happy. Yeah, Andrew and Amira.
He had a long flight.
Yeah.
He's chilling at the resort.
Just trying to decompress after that long flight. Looks like next week Andrew is gonna do some FaceTime.
Yes, he's to me, like, what I thought he would do is, like, you know, this, like, Taken style, like, set up all of this stuff. And because, right, like, what
sir,
we were
they messed
told,
with the wrong French woman.
And, you know, and I think Taken happens in Paris, too.
Yes.
But
because that's what Maggie I just Grace thought. Is going to a U2 concert.
Yeah.
I have a certain skill set. Amira's dad.
Oh, my God. So I mean, not that I knew, like, he's not going to be anything, like, this is him, but, you know, the way they were kind of setting it up, like, he's so resourceful, he's always going to find a way, flop.
I love that, like, nothing screams emergency, like, laying down with your shirt buttoned down, like, no buttons, not all the buttons done, like, he's straight up in resort wear, and it looks like he's just taking it smooth, like, oh, I think something bad happened. Like, really, really genius. Like, really cracked the case. My biggest upset, Rob, is that based on the next time on, are we getting a bye week from Brandon and Julia next week? Because I didn't see them in the preview. Correct me if I'm wrong. We got Natalie. We got Tariq and Hazel. Jovi.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, you're right.
I don't know how it works where if they don't show them in the preview, they don't show them on the episode.
Usually, yeah, because we saw it from everyone. We saw Natalie still hasn't packed. Hazel and Tariq, there's something going to happen. That was a weird cut scene, right? Where Hazel was talking and then Tariq on top of that.
It seemed like that. Does Tariq's daughter, like, call up Minty on the phone or something like that? It seemed like that she finds something on his phone.
Hazel found something on his phone, and then Tariq immediately said there will be no relationship. But I mean, obviously it's a frank invite, but
yeah.
I was just like, this is a weird edit. Like, what? 100% she found Minty. There's no way.
Yeah, we're getting the Minty angle of this storyline, I think.
Good.
Okay. All right, we'll see what happens. So they haven't let us down yet on the 90 Day Fiancé. all good. So we'll see. And maybe we'll find out. There was going to be some other Tariq update. They were going to check in with him on that other show, The 90 Day Bears All. But again, we are not Discovery Plus subscribers at this point. Not yet. Okay. Sasha, what else is next for you?
You know, just watching all this crazy reality TV. I'm also on a sequester podcast, Silent Sequester. So if y'all want to tune in, we're going live on YouTube tonight.
Monday night,
At 8 p.m. Pacific, so 12, I think, 8, 9, 11. 10, 12, 11, math, I don't know anything, Eastern. So check us out.
Okay. And then what else are you watching, Sasha?
Yeah, I'm watching Sequester, obviously The Challenge, loving it. You know, I just, like Ali said, like, very much like a welcome to all the people that are finally watching. Like, you're so lucky mm-hmm. that you get a good season. But yeah, I'm excited for Sequester and a bunch of other crazy reality shows.
Okay. And then Puya, you're coming off of the big 24-hour stream this weekend. What else is going on, Puya?
So yeah, I climbed my streaming equivalent of Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. Did 24 hours from noon to noon, Friday to Saturday. It was a weird way to kick off the new year, but it was successful. I'm happy about it. I talked about The Masked Dancer with Liana. We talked about the premiere last week. We've decided to do, we did episode one. After episode four, we'll do one more and then we'll do the finale. So the three bits, because I genuinely do think that Masked Dancer is now positioned to just lead us into the next Masked Singer mm-hmm. season, which will start some point in the spring.
Somebody has to leave. So that's sure.
Exactly. So that'll be happening. And then other than that, Rob, you know, I'm watching the challenge on Instagram. I'm having fun. I'm having fun right now. Everything's good. The stream is good. And talking 90 Day every week has just been a treat to start the week mm-hmm. off. So I'm very happy with that.
Yeah. Very fun way to get into 90 Day Fiancé, the first season for the full ride. So excited about this. Of course, we got a lot going on here on Rob Has a Podcast, including I will be kicking off our top 40 season rankings. One season a week, we'll be talking about in depth. And this week, we'll be talking about the 40th best season of Survivor. We'll be talking about Island of the Idols later on this week with Chantel Francis and Chappelle will join me for our discussion of Island of the Idols, the 40th best season of Survivor. And then next week, we'll talk about the 39th best season of Survivor, all the way to counting down to number one. Also, I have been looking back at Kid Nation, which has been a lot of fun so far with Phil Thompson, that you could check out our episode number one recap of Kid Nation. And then this Friday, I'll be talking about episodes 2, 3, and 4. And also, if you missed it last week, check out our Best of 2020 podcast on Rob Has a Podcast. Lots of great clips from a bunch of the Rob's podcasts, some wrap-ups too. A lot of Puya highlights also. What a great year, 2020 for Puya. Check it out. RobHasAWebsite.com. Best of 2020. Of course, new year. Great way to jump into everything we're doing in our patron community. Head on over to RobHasAWebsite.com/patron for access to our patron-only podcast feed, patron community, our weekly patron activities, and more at RobHasAWebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com today.